Reading from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, second part of verse 4 to verse 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And the Gospel reading from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. And this is the word of the Lord.
There is on the pews or under your seats some rosemary, and I invite you now to take some of the rosemary and to take a decent amount from that sprig, a sprig, not just one leaf, and to take it and crush it and roll it between your fingers. And let the aroma be around us, on our fingers, in our nostrils. Let it fill the house. We're using rosemary, a natural scent, as it's less likely to be a problem than artificial perfumes. And we're going to pause every now and then to reflect, to smell the rosemary, to to let our sense of smell help us as we listen to some reflections on the readings. I learnt some interesting things about rosemary today, this week. You know, rosemary can grow in desert-like conditions where there's no groundwater. In many locations, it needs no water other than the humidity carried by the sea breeze to the bush. It's a reminder to us that Isaiah tells us of God. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I form for myself, so that I might declare my praise. Smell your rosemary again. Does it bring back memories to you? Perhaps a favourite food cooked with love, special celebrations, honoured guests, much like in the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary that day. Rosemary for remembrance, we say. Some people think there may actually be something in rosemary that helps us with our sense of recall. Isaiah speaks of the importance of remembering. He speaks of it often. But here in the reading we've had today, thus says the Lord, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Remembering is not about living in the past. It's not about hanging on to the old ways. It is to be encouraged to move into the future, into new possibilities. Life changes, the world changes, and so does God's leading and our responding. Once water, the Red Sea, was an impenetrable barrier to freedom. Now, Isaiah says, it can be a sign of hope and promise. And what was once a faithful method of responding may need to be changed. Can you think of new ways that you have found of responding to God? Perhaps it's something that you were no longer able to do, that then gave you opportunities to try new things, new ways of serving, new ways of praying, new ways of reading the Bible. Have they brought you a new way forward where it seemed there was an impenetrable barrier? In his letter to the Philippians, Paul speaks of his past as a Pharisee and as a righteous follower of the law. He doesn't say this was wrong. In fact, there's a sense in which he has some pride in what he's done. But now he seeks a new way. He seeks a new way to follow in the ways of God. And the new way is Christ. Faith in the life of Jesus. In the life that even went to death. The new way is Christ. Following his way. Sharing in his suffering. Finding the new life his death reveals. There were many following Jesus as he came to Bethany again to visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus came with a group of disciples, including Judas, and as the smell of the food filled their house, Martha and Lazarus took up their usual roles, offering hospitality to Jesus. Into this very conventional scene comes Mary, carrying a jar sealed so it has to be broken to release the contents. And now the room is full, extravagantly full, full of this new perfume, and full of this woman and her unconventional behaviour, totally out of place. a year's wages, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 spent in a matter of moments. What is your reaction to this? What generosity? What waste? What love? What insight? Oscar Wilde writes, "Where there is no extravagance, there is no love. And where there is no love, there is no understanding." In Mary, we see extravagance born out of love. Love deepened by understanding. Understanding of the path that Jesus is walking. And that love fills the room. John's Gospel begins Jesus' ministry with a story of divine extravagance. Extravagance for human enjoyment. Enough wine to fill 600 bottles. Good wine, remarkably good wine, at a wedding in Cana. The celebrations cheered by the taste and I dare say the aroma of that wine. The first sign that Jesus did, said John. And here, as Jesus' public ministry comes to an end, just before Jesus will enter Jerusalem, here there is another story of extravagance. A sign, Jesus says, that Mary understands where the journey will take him. Jesus receives the gift with gratitude as the perfume envelops him. From start to finish, Jesus' ministry, life as a child of God, is marked by generous abundance given and received, gifts of love and time. Love and time, two things in this world, this life, that cannot be bought, only spent. Love and time. What gifts of abundance can you recall? What gifts have filled your life and surrounded you with the sweet scent of love? Have they strengthened you, enabled you to keep going? Perhaps helped you find God's new way through dry and difficult times? What gifts have you been able to offer others? How have you surrounded others with love to help them move on to new life? An encouraging word? A listening ear? Just your presence when there are no words to say? Mary offers a gift that will be sorely needed as Jesus continues his journey into Jerusalem. A gift whose fragrance of love will surround him until God finds a new way through the deathly darkness. The fragrance of our acts of extravagant love continue to draw others on in that new way, even when all seems dark. Let me finish with the poem. What song does this perfume sing of grace and beauty, yet mingled with the lament of love? What song does this perfume sing of faith in a God among the people who then turn on that God. What song does this perfume sing? Of hope alive in the world, too soon crushed and emptied. For perfume sings a love song of healing wounds and anointing grace, of knowing that which is sacred, of seeking out that which is found to be worthwhile. It is filled with the longing for what the future brings and of giving life for that future, committing all to the possibility, just the possibility, that good may come of it. Perfume sings lullabies of hope by grabbing hold of what is now and wrestling the beauty out of it, taking tired feet and soothing them that they may walk once more, taking furrowed brows and easing the pain of tomorrow, taking the dust of the path and finding an alleluia within it. What song does this perfume sing? Yet this jar is pierced. The glass shatters with the truth. The song, a lament of beauty, of longing in the brokenness, of seeing the shadows fall against the light. The song is glass crushed, scattered fragments of what hope once was. The song is silenced. Yet while the fragrance lasts, we do have hope that the darkness will not last forever.